This lecture is called Problems with the Genome. It's genetics for future medical doctors. And it turns out that we are now in the era of the genome, and people are starting to get personal genomics tests like myself recently. And doctors are going to need to know a lot more about genetics and genetic problems that affect human health. And so I want to talk a little bit about that in this lecture. Let's begin with non-disjunction. Non-disjunction, there's two ways it can happen. There, if you have in meiosis one, the homologous chromosomes will not separate. And so if they don't, if a pair of homologous chromosomes don't separate, you'll end up with too many chromosomes in the egg or sperm, or too few. And in another case, in meiosis two, if the sister chromatids don't separate properly, then you end up with too many or too few chromosomes in the egg or sperm. And then, down here you'll see also on the right-hand side, there are two gametes that have the normal amount of chromosomes because everything went right in that case. The result of non-disjunction is what's called aneuploidy, which is simply means the cell has either too many or too few chromosomes. And it comes from the Greek an, which means without, eu, which means good or true, and ploidy, which means chromosome. So it means without the true number of chromosomes. That's what it means. So if a fertilized egg has n plus 1 chromosomes for a particular chromosome, we say it's trisomic for that chromosome. That means 3, tri. If the fertilized eggs have n minus 1 for a particular chromosome, they're said to be monosomic, which means 1. Now, probably one of the most famous examples of this is Down syndrome. It's a result of trisomy in chromosome 21. If you look at the karyotype down here on the right, you'll see chromosome 21. There's 3 of them. And you might think, hey, isn't more better? And no, it isn't in terms of the human chromosomes. And this is actually the only case of trisomy in humans. And I think the reason that we see it in this case of trisomy 21 is because 21 is the shortest chromosome. Any of the other chromosomes that would go through this, the individual would probably miscarry before they ever came to a term. Symptoms of Down syndrome, they have these characteristic facial features. They have short stature. They have heart defects. They tend to get lung infections. They have a low IQ, and they are sexually underdeveloped, and sterile. So kind of a lot of bad things. And it turns out that people like baby boomers have been having babies later and later. If you're a woman and if you're over 35 years old, you probably, there's a greater chance for you to have a Down syndrome child. And so one of the things you might want to do is, on the next slide, go through what we call prenatal diagnosis. And there's two techniques I'll just briefly talk about. Amniocentesis, can you all say that for me? And what you do in amniocentesis is you insert a needle into the amniotic fluid, remove some of the fluid, and with it come some of the cells from the baby, because the baby's skin cells will slough off. And then you take those cells and you basically go through the process we talked about yesterday, and you produce a karyotype. And then you can see whether they have an extra chromosome 21. Or you can do what's called chorionic villus sampling. Can you say chorionic villus? And in this case, a narrow tube is inserted through the cervix, and you clip off a bit of the chorionic villi, which is really a part of the placenta, which will have the same genotype as the baby. And you can do a karyotype on that and see if you've got a Down syndrome. Yeah. Twenty-three pairs. Well, yeah, but it happens. Remember, in my example, my first example, that's happening in meiosis to an egg. So if it happens to an egg, then where the egg and the sperm come together, then one of the cells, that cell, that zygote will have three, let's say, chromosome 21s. Yeah. Yeah, they only do it. This is not, like, not every pregnancy would you go through this. Only women who are older, or maybe, you know, there might be some other indication that you might want to try it. Yeah. Interesting. I'd like to talk to you about that after class. Yeah. Well, what they do, it's obviously a moral and ethical decision. I mean, do you want to abort the fetus or do you want to bring it to term? And that is something that every family has to make a decision about, right? It's not something that you can be told you must or you mustn't. And, you know, a great example this year, obviously, the presidential race, Sarah Palin had a Down syndrome. I think she's 44 years old or in her 40s, and she had a child this year, and the child was Down syndrome. Not surprising, because older women tend to be the ones that have this, and she chose to keep the child. So that was her choice. So yeah, it's a tough decision, to, you know, because you know that this child is going to need care for the rest of their life, right? If the sex chromosomes have aneuploidy, in this case, this is XXY, the guy who discovered it, it was Dr. Klinefelter, so they call it Klinefelter syndrome. You're a male, but it would be a sterile male, and they have male sex organs, may have some female characteristics, some breast development, but normal intelligence, okay? If you have XO, XO means you have an X, but no other... nothing, not another X or not a Y. That's called Turner syndrome, named after Dr. Turner, who discovered it. These look like females, and they actually are females because they don't have any Y chromosomes. They're shorter than average. They have, you know, shorter than 5 feet tall. They fail to develop secondary sexual characteristics like breast development. They're sterile, and they do have normal intelligence. So these are the two main aneuploidies of the sex chromosomes. And you'll probably see these on a test. So you should know these. Now, there can be others. Oh, by the way, Turner syndrome is the only known viable example of monosomy in humans. It's interesting. There are XYYs. This is they don't have a name for this. But these are men, and they tend to be taller than normal. They tend to produce more testosterone than normal. And then you can have XXX, which is, once again, they don't have a name for it, but these are obviously women, you know, superwomen, I guess. I don't know what you call them. You can't really tell from their appearance, though, you know. So there you go. Now, polyploidy is interesting. It's a condition in which an organism has more than two complete sets of chromosomes, okay? And so it's actually more common than aneuploidy. So in aneuploidy, it's just one chromosome that there's either fewer of or more of, right? That's just one chromosome. But in polyploidy, it's the whole set that you've got a nut, you know, you've got three sets or four sets or whatever. So let me go back to do a quick review of what's considered normal, just so we understand that. In somatic cells, which are all the cells in your body except for your sex cells, you have two sets of chromosomes. These cells are said to be diploid or 2N. And remember that the chromosomes come in homologous pairs, okay? Now, the sex cells in the organism have one set of chromosomes, and these cells are said to be haploid. Okay, so that's what's normal biologically. Now, you can have triploidy or triploidy, 3N, and the cause of this, several ways it could happen. You could have non-disjunction. You could have non-disjunction of all the chromosomes, leaving an egg with 2N number chromosomes, and then it becomes fertilized by a normal haploid sperm, you got 3N. You could have double fertilization, where the case where two sperm happen to fertilize one egg. It's not, once again, it's not common, but it can happen. There's ways that our bodies prevent this from happening, but occasionally things like this could happen. What I like to say in biology is anything's possible, although it might not be super common. So this is what could happen. Tetraploidy would be 4N, and the way this might happen is you get a zygote, and then it replicates its chromosomes. It's going through mitosis, but then rather than going through cytokinesis, it now has 4N number of chromosomes, and then it undergoes normal mitosis after that with the 4N, and so it's just double the number of chromosomes. This is very common in plants. In fact, this is a great little factoid to kind of stick away in your mind. It's believed that over 50% of speciation in plants is due to polyploidy, which is amazing. And we'll talk more about this in the second semester when we talk about plants. And you can induce this by using the drug colchicine, okay? Now, interesting piece of trivia. Let's take a look at the Guinness Book of World Records for chromosome number. What organism has the fewest number of chromosomes, and how many chromosomes does it have? And we could just go guessing and guessing, but I'm going to go ahead and just disclose. Yeah, someone guessed one. It turns out it is one. There's an ant, a species of ant that has one chromosome. It's amazing. Which organism has the greatest number of chromosomes? Turns out it's a fern, and it has 1,260 chromosomes. Now, that's per cell. That means 630 pairs of homologous chromosomes. I want you to get a visual of this. Imagine 630 pairs of chromosomes all lined up on the metaphase plate, ready to go. You know, it's like crazy, okay? And here's pictures of both of them. There's the ant, and there's the plant. Now, I got the idea for this slide from an essay that Stephen Jay Gould wrote a number of years ago called The Ant and the Plant, and he talked about these organisms. Okay, I want to talk about alternation and chromosome structure. This is kind of interesting. Chromosomes can have major changes in them, and I'm going to talk about all the possible changes. Deletion, if you look over here to the right, you'll see a deletion, like you go A, B, C, D, E. If you delete the D, it's no longer there. So it's just removal of part of the chromosome. That's what a deletion is. A duplication is when you take, like over here it says B, C, and you double that, so it goes A, B, C, B, C again. So you're just repeating the segment. Inversion is where you flip it around. So here you go A, B, C, D, E, and then you flip the B, C, D to D, C, B. So it goes the opposite way. That can happen. You can have translocation, which is where you move a segment of one chromosome to another non-homologous chromosome. Now, what's an example where you would share with a homologous chromosome? What would that be called? Yeah. Crossing over. Very good. You guys are awake. It's crossing over. So one of the kinds of translocation is called reciprocal. And that's where you trade one for the other. So if you look here, you got AB here and M in O, and you just switch. One goes to one goes to the other. You give me a piece, I'll give you a piece. Non-reciprocal translocation is where you just move one way. You move from one to the other. And I don't have a picture of it here, but you can imagine what that's like. You just take a chunk of one, and you just put it on another. Okay? Yeah, it'd be like AB, and then just stick it over here, you know, in front of the MNO or whatever, you know. No trading the pieces. Okay. Genomic imprinting. This is cool, you guys. This is very cool. In genetic genomic imprinting, the phenotypic effects of genes depends on whether it came from mom or dad. Now, this is weird. I'm going to give you an example to kind of illustrate this. A deletion on chromosome 15. Okay, so I just talked about deletion. So imagine if a little piece of chromosome 15 is gone. If you get that particular chromosome from dad, you get what's called Prader-Willi syndrome. And what Prader-Willi syndrome looks like is mental retardation, obesity, short stature, small hands and feet. Not a good situation. Okay, it's not good to have a deletion from this chromosome from dad. But if you get it from mom, check this out. If you get it from mom, you get a completely different syndrome. It's called Angelman syndrome. And here's what happens to you. You have spontaneous, uncontrollable laughter, okay? Wow, half of you have it. You guys, I just heard you. Okay, and you have jerky body movements, okay? Now, what's weird about this, you guys, is it's the exact same deletion. There's no difference in deletion. Yeah. I'm saying, yeah, whether you got the deletion happened in mom, and if you get it from mom, then you get the Angelman syndrome. If it comes from dad, because they can trace it back. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that wild? And, well, there is a slight difference, and we'll talk about molecularly what that's all about. When we get to the molecular part. But I'm giving you, this is just sort of, we're talking now about classical genetics, so I'm just saying, hey, there's a deletion on chromosome 15 in both these examples. And what happens is, in one case, depending on where it comes from, you have a completely different phenotypic effect, okay? Now, I say that genomic imprinting is seen only in mammals. That's not totally true. It can happen in other organisms, but it's dramatic in mammals because we can see it really obviously in the lab and in humans. Now, basic ideas: same gene, different effect depending on where it came from. Okay, we'll try to, when we get to the molecular unit, I hope to sort of help you understand what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Well, for me right now, in the fall of 2008, to get your gene, you can't get your gene sequenced because it's too expensive, but we can look at 600,000 single nucleotide polymorphisms, little changes in the genome, and that costs $399 from 23andMe. Yeah, mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I'll tell you more about it when I get it back, because one of the reasons I'm doing it is so I can share it with you and, talk to you about it. Okay, each female we know cell has two X chromosomes. And if one X chromosome in the cell becomes almost completely inactivated during embryonic development. So if you look over here, you see the zygote, there's your two X's. But in every one of these cells that's a descendant of the zygote, one of the X's has become inactivated. And what it becomes is a little blob on the edge of the nucleus. It's called a Barr body, named after Dr. Barr, who discovered this. And what this means is the following. We'll do an example in cats. The X chromosome in cats controls for fur color. There's an allele for black. There's an allele for orange fur. Okay? So if you're a male, you only have one X, so you're either all black or all orange. But if you're a female cat, you inherit both, you have two X's, and if you get one X has the black allele and one has the orange, because they're randomly inactivated, some cells will produce black fur, some will produce orange fur, and so it turns out that calico cats are all female, and that's the reason why. There are no male calico cats. Isn't that cool? That's really, really cool. Great. Okay, that's it. It always happens. Yeah, it always happens. Okay.